Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Linda, and we're coming with our series, The Heat of Ministry. And last week, we talked about the anointing and how to use it. And I kind of want to pick up from that and move forward into a lot of questions that I know that people have when they're starting into ministry, because I'm asked that is, how did I know that I was called to do the ministry that I'm doing? How did I know I was called to be a pastor? How did I know I was called to be a preacher, to be an evangelist, to be able to prophesy and things of that nature? And so I kind of want to talk about that today. We found out last week that we are anointed when we were born. God anointed us and appointed us for his purpose and his design in our lives. And it takes a little bit of understanding on how to maneuver in that and how to find what your given talent, your given gifts are that you're supposed to use in ministry. And ministry, in this ministry, the ministry that I'm talking about here is not so much the ministry, you know, I have a calling to preach or I'm an evangelist, an apostle. It's not that type of, what I was talking about last week is just each of us being individually anointed. Next week, we're going to go back to the anointing study and we're going to talk about what happens when the anointing comes, because you have to understand that even though you are anointed to do a certain gift, to do a certain job, you have a purpose here on earth. Each and every one of us have a purpose here on earth. Then there has to be, when you're in ministry, you have to know when you're operating under the anointing. And it's more so there are signs that let you know that the anointing is functioning, that the anointing is occurring, not just because you are anointed, but because there is that supernatural ability to go over and above what you're able to do within your own abilities. And so we'll talk about that next week, but I wanted to kind of slip this one in between those two, because many of us don't know or we have not understood why God called us to ministry or how we were called into ministry or how we even know if we have a calling to Christian ministry. And when I'm talking about Christian ministry, I'm talking about, you know, preaching, teaching, you know, those things that the fivefold ministry is to do to edify the body of Christ. And so in responding to how I knew I was called into ministry, while I understood that question to be more related to affirming events than led that led me into ministry, or that led me into understanding who I was in Christ, I found that the idea of being called into ministry has not only been a popular catchphrase, but it also bears some explanation, or some examination is the word that I want to use. And so we are going to try to examine that today and try to really get to it. Let me take a little break here before we really get into this, because I got 30 minutes, but I do want to take a little bit of time to say next week, Monday through Thursday, Lunch with Pastor Linda, we're going to have a special guest, and I believe you guys are going to be blessed by what he's going to be teaching on. He's going to be teaching along the veins that I've already been teaching these past 2 weeks on faith and understanding purpose, and but we're going to really focus in on the faith aspect of it. So make sure that you're here Monday at noon, because Lunch with Linda is at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time. So if you're on the East Coast, that's 3 p.m. And just come and sit down and really hear what we're going to have to say. We may go, depending on how the Spirit of God goes, we may go the whole 30 minutes that Blog Talk will allow. But, you know, just come on in here, because this guy is going to bless you. And so we're going to have a special guest, and I just wanted to announce that I'll be on with him, but he'll be doing most of the teaching on those days. So make sure you mark your calendar next week, Monday through Thursday at noon Pacific Standard Time. Okay, so let's get into this. So we need to examine what's really been asked when someone says, how did you know you were called to ministry? Because it is a catchphrase. Everybody's being called. And it's almost like a badge that people wear. And when I say people, I include myself. It's almost like a badge that we wear, like we're something special. God called me to ministry. I am Pastor Linda Hillman. I am Deacon so-and-so. I am missionary this or, you know. And so I want us to really understand this because at the heart of ministry is servant. And if you are in ministry, you're called to be a servant. And we don't want – those two words are interchangeable. And we don't always look at it that way because we see ministers that, you know, want to be served. You know, they want special treatment. They want you – and I'm not saying that you shouldn't serve the minister of God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't serve the man and woman of God. You know, there is that. But we as the women and the men of God have got to remember that we are servants first. And so, you know, we shouldn't expect you to do that. It's always humbling to me when someone gets me some water or when someone does something over and above, you know, and treats me in a certain kind of way. I'm very humbled by that because I understand that I am a servant. And so let's make that point number one. We, as ministers, when you are called into ministry, you are called into servanthood. You are called into being a servant of the people of God, okay? And I say this because I believe the call to ministry has been designated as a special call to select individuals based on God's selection for specific ministry roles. I do believe that has some merit. I do believe that because there are certain personality types that God needs in leadership. Because basically you attract who you are. So if you are strong and powerful, then you're going to attract strong and powerful people. If you are timid and I don't want to say weak, but if you're timid and, you know, kind of go with the flow, then that's the type of people you're going to attract. And so if everybody has a place in the kingdom of God, then every personality type needs to be represented in the leadership so they can draw those types of people. Now, I'm not saying that a strong, powerful person can't attract a timid person. That's not because we know that there is a law that opposites attract. But what I am saying is that when you go to your church, look at how many people have the same type of personality, the same type of accomplishments, the same type of lifestyle, if you will, that the pastor has. And you'll see that like attracts like. And so that's just common. And so we need all types in the ministry. So it's true to a certain extent that God will select some individuals out of every personality type or every lifestyle or every background to make sure that those type of people are attracted to the body of Christ, especially those that have been named to be a part of the body of Christ. And we're not going to get into that. That's a different study. Because the Bible talks about that. But what we are going to talk about is that the ministry aspect of it. So some people are selected because of what they can bring to the kingdom of God and the purpose that God has for them. I'm not discounting that. It has some merit. But I think it requires some reconciliation to the Bible witness of Christian ministry. First, I think the call to ministry as designated for a select individuals is kind of misleading. And the reason why I say that is because we're all called. We're all called for God's purpose. That's why it says all things work together for the good of them who are called according to God's purpose and who love him. And so we don't want you to think that the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists are all a select union of people and that they are untouchable, or, you know, they have a different type of DNA, or they have a different type of, you know, they are a different type of human being, because we all are just like you. And I think that's why many of us, when we are in ministry and we do ministry, we're pastors, prophets, teachers, you know, evangelists, apostles, bishops, missionaries, deacons, you know, mothers, and, you know, we're in that realm of ministry, leadership. When we fall and make a mistake, people forget that we're in human bodies. They forget that we're in flesh and that our nature is to sin just like anybody else's nature is. We just have to stay on our face and pray and fast and read the word of God and kind of fight the battle a little bit harder, because we are examples. And you know, we all know about Pastor Leandra Johnson, you know, just a wonderful woman of God. However, she did something this past, I don't know if it was last week or whenever it happened. I just kind of saw a clip of what she did. But, you know, the main point is everyone's upset because she's a pastor. She's a gospel artist, and she's a pastor, and she has a ministry, and they think, is this the right representation for the ministry? And her fight or her argument against that is, you know, I'm just a person, and I'm going to do what I do in my home, and I'm in the privacy of my home, and I chose to put it on the air and blah, 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 and if you don't want to follow my lead, this, that, and the other. But my thing is, do we as a pastor, do we as an evangelist, do we as a apostle, a bishop, have a higher responsibility to be an example? Paul said it this way, follow me as I follow Christ, which means, if you flip it, I mean, just using the word here, follow me as I follow Christ. If you flip it, it means if I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Okay? And I'm not, and I don't make me come and find you, and because you don't went and told somebody that I said, don't follow Leandra Johnson because she's not following Christ, because that's not what I said. I am not her judge. That's between her and God. But Linda Hillman, Pastor Linda Hillman, Evangelist Linda Hillman, Prophetess Linda Hillman, Apostle Linda Hillman can't do that. I have to follow Christ, and I want my people to know that when you come and you link up with me, I'm going to follow Christ. Now, does that mean I'm not going to make a mistake? Absolutely not. I probably will make a mistake. Actually, I can guarantee you I'll make a mistake. And I know for a fact, because I've made mistakes while I was pastor, while I was evangelist, while I'm prophetess, while I'm being used of God, I've made mistakes because, like I said, we have that sinful nature. But one thing that I do display is when I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I say I'm wrong, and I ask God to forgive me, and I ask the people to forgive me, because I want to set an example. When you fall down, get back up, okay? So now that I'm off of that tangent, let's move on. So I think it's a little bit misleading. All Christians are called into ministry because all Christians have spiritual gifts that are to be employed for service to the body of Christ, 1 Peter 4:10. That doesn't require some specified direction, but a working out of those gifts. You need to work in the gifts that you have been given. So whether you're called to ministry or not, you are called to the ministry of doing what God told you to do. Okay? And for the sake of clarity with this, ministry today is leadership ministry, pastors and the fivefold ministry, pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and then I'm also including missionaries, deacons, and, you know, people that we see in church, you know, leading a ministry, whether they give themselves a title or not. But I'm specifically pinpointing the fivefold ministry, because that's who, in Ephesians, God has given gifts to the church. If he has deemed you as a gift to the church, then you have a specific duty to do. And because you have a specific duty to do, you know, we need to know how to do that in the spirit of excellence, okay? and I'm sorry, I have notes here because I want to make sure I stay on point. Let me find my place. I'm sorry. So as we grow in our Christian walk and seek to serve the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12 through 24, and I'm not going to read it, but you can take notes on that again. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 24, identifies that everyone has a part to play in the growth of the body, also supported in Ephesians 4 and 16. I don't dismiss the fact that God may have specific roles or even specialized ministries that he directs us to, but is more indicative of our progress in faith. And so, you know, what I do know is that if God has called you into the fivefold ministry, there is a certain maturity that you must have. And understand, I'm saying maturity, not years. So years doesn't equal maturity, because I know people that are saved, been saved in church for 50 years, and they're still a babe in Christ. They're still arguing over the basics. They can't get past the basics. And so when I say maturity, you could be saved a year and be mature in Christ. So wherever your calling is, if God has called you and he's revealed he's called you to the fivefold ministry or to the leadership of the church, there is a certain maturity that God sees in you, okay? Second, the New Testament witness to the concept of call of the calling is predominantly related to the salvation call of election, okay? God calls individuals into the body of Christ, but not into individual ministry roles. It is through service to the body that one works out their inclination. So, and I love Saddleback, because Saddleback brought to us how to figure out your gifts, how to figure out your how God has shaped you. I mean, remember, shape stands for spiritual gifts, your heart, your experiences, your abilities, and T just left me. I'm doing heart, and I'm supposed to be doing shape. So it's your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. That's what shape stands for. And so Saddleback has taught us how to figure that out. If you have not gone through that process where you've discovered your gifts and talents, that's the first place you have to start before you even start talking about, God, I'm called. You understand what God has gifted you with, so you'll better understand what he's calling you to do, okay? So the call of salvation is there. We all have to hear the gospel call of salvation, and we have to say yes to the Lord. And then once we say yes to the Lord, it's a progression in our spiritual growth. And as we grow spiritually, we should be identifying our shape, our spiritual shape. And once we identify our spiritual shape, it will then bring us into our inclination of where we are to work in ministry, whether it's in the fivefold ministry or whether it's in, you know, some of the other areas of the church. Through service to the body that one works out their inclination, there is much to be said for passion and desire. I had a popular preacher say once that if you want to know what you should be doing, pay attention to what drives you and what bothers you when it's off. Okay? I don't believe that should be equated with critical fault-finding mission. So you're not going in and saying, oh, I can preach better than a pastor. That's not what it's saying here. But most of the time, people say whatever your hand, the Bible says, is whatever your hand finds to do, do it, okay? In the coach world, because I'm also a coach, we say find a hole and fill it. So when you start doing that, you'll start to find as you mature in Christ, you will gravitate to your ministry. How I knew that I was supposed to start Whole Ministries was because I gravitated to the hurting people. It seemed like everywhere I go, I would bump into or find or someone would come and tell me this horrendous story that they've experienced, and they were now suffering from it, and God would then speak to me to speak into their life. And so that let me know that whole ministries, Women Healed of Life's Experiences, needed to happen. And then as I was working in whole ministries, I found out, you know what, some of these issues that I'm working with in the community are also in the church house. So that's how Living Above Hurt became. You see how that's working? I'm working one thing, and then God reveals another hole that needs to be filled, and my hands find something else to do. And so I begin to work on it. Now, as I started working on it, well, actually it started with the singles ministry at Victory and Praise. I was there, and my bishop changed it from singles director to singles pastor. So now I was put in a situation where I had to now pastor and lead people. I was accountable for their souls. I was accountable for their spiritual growth. I was accountable for their ministry or their maturity and getting them involved in ministry. And so that began the pastoring. And then when I started Whole Ministries and Living Above Hurt Ministries, the pastoring began to develop in me even more. And so the very thing that I knew that I was supposed to be but was running from it began to